It's been a wonderful weekend and time spent with y'all over here and over in Alabama and different places. Just a wonderful time. I hope y'all realize that and appreciate how much that we do appreciate y'all. And love y'all very much. This afternoon I want to talk for a few minutes about the Beatitudes. It's very familiar to all of us, I know. I've heard many, many lessons on it, and I've given several lessons on it, but it was one of those aha moments a few weeks ago when you're looking at something and you finally it dawns on you what they're in, you know. And the kids say that I do that a lot with memes and things on the internet. I guess I'm a little slow sometimes about catching on to what's supposed to be funny, but I was a little slow catching on to the Beatitudes, I think, because it took me several years before it finally crept up on me. And I think what it was what we heard a little bit about this last week in Alabama is context. If you take things out of context, you can make them say all kinds of things, or you can also get really confused about what it is that they're trying to say if you take it out of context. So I guess the point is, what context is the Beatitudes? And you say, well, you know, they were the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. There's no context at all. But yes, there actually is quite a bit. If you look at John's preaching, John the Baptist says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John the Baptist is going about and he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then Jesus from that time began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In verse 23 of Matthew 4, he says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So John the Baptist started out talking about repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began to talk and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he began to preach what? The kingdom of heaven. He began to preach about and teach about that which was to come on the day of Pentecost, when the fire fell down and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And what happened? The kingdom came. The kingdom came. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven is here. And this is what we're preaching about is the kingdom of heaven. If you look in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and 3, verse 10, verse 19, 20, chapter 6, verses 10 and 33, chapter 7, verse 21, reference what? The kingdom. The kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And so he begins then with the Sermon on the Mount. What I'd always tried to do was figure out, you know, these statements have to be true because they're what Jesus said, but then I knew in my heart that some of them just don't always follow, but they do if you think about them with this thought in mind, that these are spiritual identities of the kingdom of heaven's people. Those who would be citizens, those who would be members of the kingdom of heaven, can enjoy a great happiness if they do these things. Blessed are those who. And then there's a statement, and then there is a result. So to be blessed is to be happy, to be supremely happy, to be content. And so if we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, he started out very succinctly giving us the guidelines of what it means to be a kingdom of heaven citizen. He's preaching the kingdom. And so this made it very clear. And I think you'll see it as we go through it. He says, those who are poor in spirit, you know, those who are humble as opposed to those who are proud, those who understand that they're spiritually impoverished, they have nothing within themselves as far as spiritualness. It all comes from God, and we need salvation. And Peter, he said, yeah, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Poor in spirit. Yes, we're poor in spirit. When we begin to realize that, we have begun an entrance into the kingdom. You look at they that mourn. What are we mourning over? People that died? No. Mourning over the fact that we are spiritually bankrupt. We're mourning over the fact that we cannot be members of the kingdom. Just like David, after he committed his adultery with Bathsheba, he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David understood that the mourning part, the being grieved part, was because we're sinful creatures. He said, blessed are they who what? Who mourn. Blessed are the meek. What does it mean to be meek? Well, it means to be gentle. Easy to be entreated. Why? Because we know, again, about our spiritual poverty. We know that we don't have the right to be all uppity. Titus 3 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, to powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Need to be gentle. We'll find out who's gentle. Find out who a kid will go to. They'll show you in just a minute who the gentle and the meek are. You know, you get somebody that's a little bit standoffish, a little bit proud, a little bit thinking highly of themselves, a little bit, you know, don't really want to talk to you. It doesn't take children very long to figure out they don't want anything to do with them. And they don't. And so those who are meek, those who are meek will be blessed. They hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. Now that becomes very clear, doesn't it? That becomes exceedingly clear when we're thinking about spiritual things. Looking for that which can meet, again, that spiritual poverty that we have. Not a half-hearted search. Not saying, oh, well, let's see, it's Sunday. I guess I could go to church. I don't know, my back's been awful bad here lately. I don't know. That I should read the Bible. I've been meaning to. It's laying over on the counter. Wait a minute. What's on TV? And I can't tonight. I got something I need to watch. You know, that half-hearted thing. You know, I've had to take a lot of tests with computers. Working with computers, you get certified and you have to take tests. And I will tell you, I have failed some. The reason I failed is because I didn't study. You cannot half-heartedly study for one of those tests and pass. You have to study for those tests. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to be lined up at judgment and say, hey, brother, what's Jude 4 saying? You know, what's verse 4 saying? Now, I don't think he's going to do that. But the point is it a half-hearted attempt or are we serving God? Are we serving God because we think it's the thing to do? Or it's the thing we've always done? Or it's the thing Mama wants us to do? Or are we serving God because we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Those will be filled. They that hunger and thirst after will be filled. Merciful. You're merciful, you possess a forgiving spirit. And you know this because you know you need forgiveness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Singleness, sincere, honest, without hypocrisy. Some people don't have pure intentions. It doesn't, again, take very long to figure that out if you're honest with yourself. Some people just don't. And these, he said, will be blessed who are pure in their efforts to serve him. Peacemakers, working to peace with God and man. Will it be like Jesus? Those who are persecuted. You know, it doesn't matter if we are persecuted or not. We will be at some point in your life. You will find yourself being persecuted for being a Christian. As Paul said when he wrote Hebrews chapter 11, may not have resisted unto blood. That may not happen. But point is, you will get slander. People will revile you. There's all sorts and all different manner of persecution. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not just because, but if it's for righteousness' sake. So let's go back through these real quick now and look at what he's saying. He's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And he goes on, he says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is a very difficult verse to read in Malawi. Because when we read that, we read it, well, if we seek the kingdom of God, we'll have everything we need. That's not what that verse says. Verse says, your Father knoweth you have need of these things, but to seek first the kingdom of God. He said he'll give you what he's going to give you. He will give you what's yours. He will give you what you need. He didn't say he was going to give us a super abundance. He didn't say he was going to make it where we're going to be rich. He said, have faith that you don't worry constantly about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on, where you're going to live, what you're going to do. He said, that's what the people of the world do. That's all they do. That's all they do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So he says, if you're poor in spirit, if you're humble, if you're seeking, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Again, he's talking about spiritual things. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You know, I've had some troubles in my life. I've had some disappointments. I've had some setbacks. I've had some issues. And a lot of times, the only comfort that I really found was in God. Then he says, if you have this, if you've had these problems, then you're able to comfort other people, regardless of the problem that they're having. And so it begins, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, both of one another and the comfort of God. And finally, of course, in that great glorious day, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away. That's what we're shooting at. Blessed are they that mourn. They will be comforted. They will be comforted in the kingdom. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Mark 10:29, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. And you think, well now, what's he saying? If you leave those whom you love dearly because of Christ's sake and because of the gospel's sake, you will receive again. A hundredfold, he says. Say you leave someone and you say, I can't associate with you anymore. I just cannot associate with you. And then you look around, like right now, you look around and say, how many people, your brothers and sisters here today, you've received back. You've received it back. All spiritual. Spiritual and mind. Jesus said, you'll have more than you need. You'll have more than you need. And in the world to come, you'll have eternal life. They will be filled. They that hunger and thirst shall be filled. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, with whom and for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. They shall be filled. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord will give it to you. The Lord will give it to you. Filled because of the blood of Christ. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. He said, much more than be now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Filled with what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the blood. Filled with righteousness, which is of Christ. Filled up. Blessed and merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Get that? Merciful, they'll obtain mercy. Faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, be justified by His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. John 14:6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye would know my Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. That one always tripped me up. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Seen Him how? Seen Him through His actions. Seen Him through His love. Seen Him through His teaching. But one day it'll be face to face for sure, because He said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them and shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation 22, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. And His name shall be in their foreheads. They'll see His face. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Both now and in the world to come, face to face. They shall be called the children of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. See Him as He is. Blessed are the peacemakers. They are the children of God. He sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. He said to me, write, for these things, these words are true and faithful. He said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God.
you shall be my son. The sons and daughters of God. Do we not realize what He's offering us? The sons and daughters of God.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I don't need any explanation now. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now you see how when you're thinking spiritually, you get to the end of this list, it all just kind of comes together. All of this kind of makes sense now. That if we're persecuted, if we're reviled, if we're spoke against, and it's for Jesus' sake, He said, you're doing well. You're doing what? So the blessing is inheriting the kingdom. Spiritual poverty. Knowing that we spiritually are weak, we are helpless, we have no hope. We're sorry for our sin. We have a willingness to be entreated, willingness to be talked to. Gentleness is important when you're looking for a solution to a problem that you have. You ever meet somebody that had a problem but they just wouldn't listen to you at all? Even though you knew what the solution was, they would not stop long enough for you to tell them the solution? A longing for righteousness. Merciful spirit. We talked about that, I think it was this morning, I mentioned something about the mirror effect. You know, if you're not merciful to other people, you can't really expect mercy. And if you're not forgiving to other people, you really can't expect forgiveness. A singleness of heart in serving God. One who seeks peace with both God and man at all times. And those who would gladly and do gladly bear the reproach and the persecution for Christ. That is the Beatitudes. At least that's my summary of it, Ben. That's what it's about. That's what it's talking about, is inheriting the kingdom, becoming citizens of the kingdom of God. How do you do that? Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, all right then. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a fair question. I don't think he was being sarcastic. I think he was being honest. You tell me I'll be born again, how am I going to do that? Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a smart man at that time. I think he knew exactly what Jesus meant. Unless you're baptized, unless you repent, unless the Spirit of God comes to you, you'll not be born again. And you certainly cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Some people say, oh, is there water baptism what saves? Water doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. But you're born again through the water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit. Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, bear in mind that he had just told them the story of Christ. He had just led them through his life, through the prophets, through a summary of the Old Testament, really, up until the time of the prophecies that had been fulfilled before their eyes. And he said, and you killed him. When they heard that, they were pricked in their heart, it says. They weren't mildly entertaining the thought of, wow, I must have really done something. No, they understood that they had killed the Prince of Glory. Do you understand that? They understood they had killed the Son of God.
They said, what are we going to do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Down talk, down play, whatever you're going to do with baptism, all you want. Peter said that was what you needed to do. Repent and be baptized. Every one of them. He said, then you will receive that gift. That's how we receive the gift. That's how we become a citizen of the kingdom of God. If you're searching, that is the beginning steps. That is the beginning of your passport to the kingdom. If you're here this afternoon, you need to help the church in any way. Bid you come while we stand and sing.